Without any delays, I would like to go ahead and invite our guest speaker for tonight. He is going to be talking about fighting the arrogant powers, the seerah of Sayyida Fatima Zahra alayha salam. Our speaker is Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi. So let's go ahead and invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. بارئ الخلائق أجمعين وبائث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي الهاشمي القرشي العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرضين بأبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل ثم الصلاة والسلام على آله آل الله واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أعداء الله إلى قيام يوم الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته respected brothers and sisters and dear scholars. First of all, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this tawfiq to be here again and to be among this sincere gathering of the servants of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Before I begin, we are now at the threshold of the holy month of Rajab. Inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this tawfiq to be able to use all those blessings that comes in this holy month of Rajab, which was a means of ascension for many of the great scholars, great men and women of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I recommend you, if you have time, and inshallah you have, to make some time for that, to inshallah read the book Al-Muraqibat. Do you know we have a book called Al-Muraqibat? It was written by Mirza Jawad Maliki At-Tabrizi, one of the greatest, Assalamu alaikum, one of the greatest scholars, and was very much revered by Imam Al-Khumayni. He has a book called Al-Muraqibat. This book has 12 chapters in the name of the Qamari month of a year. The chapter of Rajab, which is an exceptional part of that book, is really phenomenal. It's really necessary for all of us to read that chapter. I think there is an English translation for that book, I think. But I know all of you are students in Hawza, or many of you, most of you. And you can read the Arabic version, which is absolutely better than the Farsi and English version. Inshallah, it's very good before the beginning of the holy month of Rajab to read that chapter of that book. It is great. That chapter has two parts. First part is about Al-Muraqibat, what is the observations of the holy month of Rajab. And then he talks about the practice and the deeds that are recommended to be done during the holy month of Rajab. Inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this tawfiq to be a companion of Rajabiyun, inshallah, bi barakati salawatin ala Muhammad wa alihi al-athar. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi al-athar. The society in Arabia, Jaziratul Arab, before Rasulullah emerges and before the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was completely based on tribe. Everything was based on tribe. You know, the definition of people, of individuals, was that I am like Muhammad and I'm from Bani Tamim. I'm from Qatif, I'm from this, I'm from that tribe. So even people would describe themselves as a member of a tribe. Everything could be described within a tribal system. And every relationship between the individuals and between the groups of people were functioned based on tribes. This kind of understanding, this kind of culture had its own values. You know, the tribal system has its own cognition, understanding, worldview, values, ethics. You know, it is famous that in the time of the ignorance that we call it Al-Jahiliyyah before Rasulullah, they would even get into vile battles and kill many of the camps of each other just because of a very tiny incident. Something very little happened between them. So start waging war, killed each other. They would, as you heard, they would bury their baby girls when they're born alive because of that tribal system. Because in a tribe, you need to have sons. Girls, you know, are not working for you. Cannot work in the farm, cannot work in the business, cannot, train the camels, okay? So you need to have soldiers. So you need to have some boys, yeah? This tribal system in the Arabia before Rasulullah, it shaped economy, it shaped ethics, it even shaped the system of the religion and religiosity. It shaped culture and everything. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerged in the Arabia, it was an atmosphere full of ignorance, based on nothing but tribe. There was no real source of ethics, no real source for economy or society or anything, but the tribal system. Because I am the son of the person X, okay? I had these values, this is my money, this is my position in the society, this is what I am. Okay. So if my father is not a very respected person in the tribe, so this is my destiny. I will not be respected. If my father is not from Quraysh, so I'm doomed to be humiliated in the society. If I happen to be female, so I'm doomed to what? To be humiliated. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerged, when he came to this society, he did two works. First, he tried to deform that kind of society, and then he started to reform a new society, to shape a new society. Rasulullah did that based on kalimatul tawheed. La ilaha illallah. So la ilaha illallah is very simple to us, yes? This is la ilaha illallah. We say la ilaha illallah multiple times in a day. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. There is no deity but Allah, okay? But in that time, and even until now, because it became a routine for us, normal for us. But it wasn't like that. La ilaha illallah means what? Means you, Abu Sufyan, you have nothing. You have no position, no respect, except you gain it from taqwa. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. We have created you from both male and female. No difference. Waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila. We put you in tribes and groups of people. Lita'arafu, so you can know each other. Inna akramakum inda Allah. The closest person to Allah is who? The most pious person. This is the meaning, the definition of La ilaha illallah, okay? So, Rasulullah, by raising the word La ilaha illallah, he started to deform the society. This is how he confronted Al-Jahiliyyah. And started to form a new one based on La ilaha illallah. Based on La ilaha illallah, you are black, no problem. You're female, okay, no problem. You're son of the richest person of Arabia, okay, no problem. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The relationship between us is brotherhood and sisterhood, and nothing more, nothing less. So the new society was based on the relationship of the people, the individuals, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And then the relationship between these individuals under the concept of brotherhood, al-ukhuwa, nothing more, nothing less. So this is the new society, based on al-wilaya, wilayatullah, wilayatul rasulillah, and al-ukhuwa. Okay. The new society was working. We see the Madinatul Nabi. The relationship between mu'mineen, أَذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةً يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةً لَائِمٍ. This was the virtue of mu'mineen in that time. So by that, everything automatically going to become resolved, and everything was in its place, because Tawheed puts everything in its place. If you want justice, it starts from what? From Tawheed. Communism cannot give you justice, because cannot put the things in its real places, because it doesn't know what is the real place of the things. Okay? So, this was what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. At the end of the time of Rasulullah, before the demise of Rasulullah, he wanted to transmit this power to the real person who could be the eligible person to rule society in that way, to maintain that al-wilaya and that al-ukhuwa. But what happened after Rasulullah passed on, you know, sometimes we reduce that to a very tiny political conflict. It wasn't like that. The people who did that, they changed the course of the history, or they wanted to change it. Why? Because they restarted everything. Listen, brothers and sisters. They restarted everything. By what? By in the Saqif saying what? Saying that Ali is young. What are the terms of the competence a person to become a ruler? Ali is young. The person who is going to become the successor of Rasulullah must be from Quraysh. Must be from Muhajireen, okay? Must be from this and that and this and that. And they elected the successor of Rasulullah according to those terms. Were those terms Islamic? According to Tawheed? No! It was against going back to Al-Jahiliyyah, to the age of ignorance. This is the time that Lady Zahra Salamullahi Alayha arises. This is the meaning of the revolution of Lady Zahra Salamullahi Alayha. Because we always think that it was the issue of Fadak. Yes, Fadak exactly was an issue. And Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha went there to claim Falak, and it was right, and she had to do that, and we have to take our rights, and it is Islamic, it is good, it is not going after dunya, no, you have to do that. But this was the beginning, this was the excuse of that sermon. On that day, after they violated the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and of course the right of people to have a person like Amir al-Mu'mineen to rule upon them, Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha, when she went to the Masjid al-Nabi and she started to give that beautiful sermon that is really the peak of eloquence. Those people who have studied al-Balagha in Hawza after Sarf and Naf, you studied al-Balagha. If you try to understand the Balagha, the eloquence of Lady Zahra in that khutbah, it's great. It's really mind-blowing. But I'm not talking about that. In that sermon, Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha tried to prevent, to refrain the society to go back to the Al-Jahiliyyah. This is the job that Amir al-Mu'mineen could not do because of the sayings of Rasulullah. Amir al-Mu'mineen was assigned by Rasulullah to remain quiet. Okay? But the duty of Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha was to what? To speak out against them. And when she wanted to talk in that beautiful sermon of Fadak, he starts to remind them that real fundamental intellectual system that by which Rasulullah reformed and deformed the society, which was At-Tawheed. The beginning of that sermon is a very beautiful description of Tawheed. And then she says in that sermon, and she starts to talk to the people. She wants to wake them up, okay? Because they are going to go back, you know, their minds, because, you know, brothers and sisters, for those of you who studied usul or philosophy, okay, you know that insan, the human being, in the beginning levels of his interactions and deeds, insan is al-fa'ilu bil-qasd. Okay? Al-fa'ilu bil-qasd. Means what? Means before you do anything, first you imagine the thing. You want to drink some water, okay? You imagine, is that good for me? Okay? In your imagination. And then you say, yes, it's good for me. You do tasdiq, as we read in usul and fiqh. And then you like to do that, because sometimes we do tasdiq for things, but we don't do that. We do tasdiq that Salatul Layl is good, but we don't wake up for that because it's so hard. Okay? We don't have shawq, as they say. And then you have shawq, and if you have a higher level of shawq, you go and do the job. You drink the water. Okay? You study. You wake up for Salatul Layl. So before any action, you need to convince yourself that that action is good for you. So you need to have an intellectual system before any action, okay? Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha, As-Siddiqah Tahira Salamullah Alayha, she wanted to give them the real kind of intellectual system again. It was all about Tawheed. It wasn't about the tribes, it wasn't about those old-fashioned values that you had in the time of Al-Jahiliyyah. So when she talks, what does she say? She says that after talking with them, you know, it's a very long sermon. I recommend all of you to read that beautiful sermon. فَلَمَّا اِخْتَارَ اللَّهُ لِنَبِيِّهِ دَارَ أَنْبِيَائِهِ When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for his prophet to put him with other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens. وَمَأْوَى أَسْفِيَائِهِ ظَهَرَتْ فِيكُمْ حَسِيكَةُ النِّفَاقِ The signs of hypocrisy emerged between you, among you. Lady Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَسَّمَلَ جَلْبَابُ الدِّينِ And the curtain of the religion was removed. وَنَّتَقَ كَاذِمُ الْغَاوِينَ وَنَّبَغَ خَامِلُ الْأَقَلِّينَ The misguided people started to talk. Unknown people in Islam, that they have done nothing for Islam, they started to give advices to people after Rasulullah. Okay? وَهَدَرَ فَنِيقُ الْمُبْتَلِينَ فَخَتَرَ فِي عَرَصَاتِكُمْ This line I want to focus. وَأَطْلَعَ الشَّيْطَانُ رَأْسَهُ مِنْ مَغْرَزِهِ هَاتِفًا بِكُمْ And Shaytan puts, you know, because Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha wants to say that Shaytan was hiding before that because of Rasulullah. After Rasulullah, Shaytan thought this is the good chance for me. So Shaytan came out of his hiding place, Hatifan Bikum, and started whispering to you. فَأَلْفَاكُمْ لِدَعْوَتِهِ مُسْتَجِبِينَ And Shaitan eventually realized that you are good persons, you're really following him. You're answering his calls. وَلِلْعَغِرَّةِ فِيهِمْ وَلَاحِذِينَ And you are so ready to be misguided. ثُمَّ اسْتَنْهَضَكُمْ فَوَجَدَكُمْ خِفَافًا And then asked you to arise. And Shaitan felt that you're so ready, so eager to arise and to rise up against the word of Haqq, the Shaitan. فَوَسَمْتُمْ غَيْرَ إِبِلَكُمْ And you signed on the camel that was not for you. The camel of Khilafah, she means. It wasn't for you. فَوَسَمْتُمْ غَيْرَ إِبِلَكُمْ وَأَوْرَدْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَشْرِبَكُمْ Okay. And then فاطمة الزهرة صلى الله عليه asks them to start a revolution. يَا أَيُّهَا أَيُّهَا بَنِي قَيْلَةَ أَأُهْضَمُ تُرَاثَ أَبِي وَأَنْتُمْ بِمَرْعَى مِنِّي وَمَسْمَعِي وَمُنْتَدَى وَمَجْمَعِي تَلْبَسُكُمُ الدَّعْوَ وَتَشْمَلُكُمُ الْخُبْرَ Lady Zahra tells some of the tribes were ready there that you have weapon. You have people, you have soldiers, you have power. Start, defend me. Defend my right. And she means the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is why Zahra salamullah alayha was so dangerous to the news order that they wanted to establish in that society. Okay. So she tried in this sermon and all those meetings and sessions that she had with the companions of Rasulullah, you know that for 40 nights he would go to the doors of Sahaba, the Muhajirin and Ansar, and ask them, this is the right of Amir al-Mu'min, this is the right of Ali, you were present on the day of Ghadir. Okay? So in her revolution, he started and tried to maintain the kalimat al-tawheed. And you know, if it wasn't because of her, we had known nothing from reality of Islam. Because those people, after Rasulullah, they were removing everything. You know, in many of those books, there is nothing from Amir al-Mu'mineen. There are some books talks about the virtues of Sahaba. In some of those books, you can't find more than 10 or 20 hadith about Amir al-Mu'mineen. But you find hundreds about Muawiyah. Okay? This is how you need to confront the arrogant power. And the embodiment of arrogance, the reality of arrogance in this universe is Shaitan. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned in the beginning of this session, says in Quran, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ Who was Iblis? Abba. He refused to bow down to Adam, to do sajda. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ He was arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ So Shaitan is the leader of who? Of the arrogant people. And it is so amazing that Fatimah al-Zahra salamullah alayha mentions that in this khutbah. She says that if I see arrogance between you, you could easily tell Rasulullah that this man is delirious in that famous hadith. And then you are openly refuse the will of Rasulullah that Amir al-Mu'mineen must be the Khalifa after him. Because of what? Because you have this istikbar that existed in your hearts before Rasulullah. And you know the source of istikbar is Shaitan. The source of istikbar is Shaitan. How can we confront the source of istikbar? As you see in this khutbah, Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, she hadn't any weapon, any sword, nothing. She was just talking to people. So the legacy of Rasulullah remains intact. Okay? Why is it like this? Yes, one of the reasons was that Amir al-Mu'mineen could not gather enough people to confront them. Okay, that's okay. But the other reason is all the problems cannot be resolved by fighting, especially against Shaitan. You know, we have in Quran is so beautiful. The first time that Shaitan encounters human being was where was it? The first time that Shaitan meets with the human being was in the Jannah to Adam wa Hawa. Okay? That we call that the heaven of Adam and Hawa before they come to this worldly life. Okay? There, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refrained them from approaching that forbidden what? Tree. Here in Quran, in the Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 20 and then 22, Shaitan faces who? Adam and Hawa. What does he do? What he did there? فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَ مَوُورِيَ عَنْهُمَ He started whispering to them. Whispering what? وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ You know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refrained you from approaching to that tree? It is because if you eat from that fruit, you will have two virtues. First, you become an angel, and then you will achieve eternity. You become immortal. So it starts lying to Adam and Hawa, whispering to them, changing their mindset, manipulating them. Allama Tawataba in Tafsir al-Mizan says this is what Shaitan can do, nothing more. Yes, some of those people who are under the kingdom and sultana of Shaitan, yes, they do whatever Shaitan wants to do, that want them to do. Okay. But other people, Shaitan has nothing. Has no authority over us, okay? But what? But to whisper to us, to tell us that, to show us that the reality is false and the falsehood is real. So waswasa lahuma. وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ And Shaitan is swearing to Allah that I am a sincere advisor to you. Me, Shaitan, I want you to achieve eternity. I want you to become an angel. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ And Shaitan deceived them. And, you know, the rest of the ayah. Again, in Surah Taha, Shaitan says, this is another kind of that, you know, discussion between Adam and Hawa and Shaitan. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, you have Hawa and Shaitan. She was deceived, she was misguided, and then she started to deceive who? Adam, okay? So the source of the Shaitani idea comes from the femininity, from women. Even until now, in their movies, in their literature, you know, woman, you know, it resembles what? Shaitan. Like science that we have in the book of Genesis, the first part of the Old Testament. Okay. But in Quran, no. Quran says, Shaitan misguided both of them. Not just Hawa. فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ قَالَ يَا آدَمَ Here just Adam. هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكِ لَا يَبْلَى Do you want me to lead you to a tree that gives you eternity and gives you a kingdom that will not ever be destroyed? وَمُلْكِ لَا يَبْلَى Start whispering to who? So even our very forefather, his problem was what? Was this kind of deception of Shaitan. The arrogant power doesn't just kick you out, punch you. No, this is so easy. Doesn't do that. Yes, some normal, average, yes, weak kind of arrogant powers like Saudi Arabia, may Allah curse them when we look at the misery that people of Yemen are going through. I don't know what to say. This is Saudi Arabia, but the leaders of arrogance, they don't do their jobs like this. They start to deceive people, to change your mindset. to manipulate you before everything. Makes you humiliated for what you have, for your religion, for your revolution, for your ideas. Tells you that this is worthless, okay? And then takes over your lands, your property, your relatives and everything. Always happens. Look at the history of Iran. Look at the history of Pakistan. Look at the history of India. Look at the history of Iraq. Look at the history of Ottoman Empire. Look at the history of Palestine. The same thing happened everywhere, same thing. Deception, manipulation, changing the mindset, changing the worldview, and then attacking. Okay? We have other verses in Quran. I'm not going to mention this because I think we talk too much. But so if the arrogance works like this, if the istikbar is going to do this, if you want to defend and if you want to beat the enemy, that kind of enemy, the first thing that you have to arm yourself with is what? Is the correct and right kind of mindset and conception. Imam Khamenei had a meeting here in Qom in the year 89 Hijri Shamsi, because you know he was in Qom for 10 days. In one of his meetings with his students, he says that al-basira, because if you want to confront the enemies, the arrogance, you need insight, you need al-basira. Because if you don't understand the right from wrong, and if you don't understand the enemy from the friend, you're not going to do anything. You can attack your friend. You can help your enemy. Yeah? There he says that I always emphasize on al-basira and whatnot and that. And then he says that al-basira has two layers. A layer that is visible, sathi, as he says. And a layer that is fundamental, as he called zirin, the beneath layer, the real layer of al-basira. He says that yeksat, I'm going to mention him in Farsi, mention his words in Farsi, sath usuli va layeg zirin basirat ast. Insan dar entekhab jahanbini va fahm asasi mafahim tauhid. پس ببینید فرق بین نگاه توحیدی و نگاه مادی، معرفت الهی و معرفت مادی این است. He says that if you want to have basira, firstly, you have to be able to distinguish between the monotheistic worldview and the materialistic worldview. First of everything, before you know the names of people, the presidents of Iran or Pakistan or India, before you talk about any political issue, before that, you need to know there are two kind of worldviews in the world. The first worldview is based on Tawheed. If you don't have that, you can't do anything. Your basira, your activity will not help anything, because we had this history. We had too many people in the history of Islamic Revolution. They were really brave people. They had that courage. Brave, they were with Imam al-Khomeini. They had too many photos with Imam al-Khomeini. But when some, you know, situation was trembling and things, you know, went sideways, and many of those trials and tribulations happened during the Islamic Revolution, they started to what? To refuse, to renounce the beliefs that they had in the beginning. Imam Khamenei, in one place, he mentions that this is because they had not this mabna. They were so weak in the basis of real Islam. Because, you know, sometimes it's good to fight, to show your courage, especially when you're young. But when you get older, you become more conservative, you become more cautious, and you start to, you know, doubt in what you had before. But people like Imam al-Khamenei, He's always like the situation that he had when he was young. There is no difference. Even now he is more revolutionary. It's really surprising. In his 80s. And he says that those Western powers, when they talk about the extremism in Iran, they mean me. I'm the extremist here. Okay. Why? Because if you read his life, you see that from the beginning, he was always with Quran. He had the right kind of mindset and conception. This is what we need to achieve. And then we can help people. Then we can provide advices. Then we can teach people. Then we can train people. Then we can upbring our children. Then we can help our family. Then we can defend our ideas and beliefs. This is the first step we have to take. And we are here in Qom for that. Okay? It's a big regret for anyone that spends years here in Qom, and at the end of that period of time, sees that he has nothing in his hands. Empty. And it happens to Iranian students and non-Iranian students. Every day I have people like them. I'm in Payedah, I have nothing, I don't know Islam, I don't know nothing about Islam, so what should I do? I have nothing, I have this remorse, I regret everything. So we have to begin. Even if you're going to do that and start that after 10 years, okay, it's okay. You know Mirza Jahangir Khan Qashqai, one of the great philosophers. He was the teacher of Ayatollah Burujerdi, in philosophy. He came to Hoze, started his lessons in Hoze when he was 40 years old. 40 in Isfahan. Because of a story, I'm not going to mention it. But he then became the greatest philosopher of his time, and he became an Ayatollah Mirza Jahangir Khan Qashqai. It happens and it's possible. Okay. So, it's not possible to confront arrogant powers and figures unless we focus on our conceptions and mindset, because the source of that hypocrisy, the source of that arrogance is Shaitan. And Shaitan knows his job very well. He's very good at his job. La'natullahi alayhi. Okay? And what's his job? Whispering, changing your ideas. Talking to you, talking, until you abandon everything. Everything. لَأَقْفَبَعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Oh Allah, and he's so audacious, yes? Tenacious. Talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says that what? That I am sitting on your straight way, a straight path. Not other subul, other ways. No, the straight path. I'm there for the mu'mineen. And I will not let any of them to pass this path except for al-mukhlasin. لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَسِينَ And look, this diversion, this distortion, this changing of mindset. This led people to the day of Ashura. And you know, on the day of Ashura, Sayyidu Shuhada Salamullah Alayha would come out of his tent wearing the turban, Amama of Rasulullah, and the cloth of Rasulullah, and in his hand the sword of Rasulullah, and just telling them, I am the son of your prophet. This is what he wanted to prove on that day. I don't need anything else. I am the son of your prophet. Oh, that sahaba, that companion, that do you remember Rasulullah said that al-Hasan wal-Husayn sayyida shabab ahli al-Jannah? You are killing me, you know that? This is, to this extent, it can come. This is the consequence of the mindset that were changed. So on the day of Ashura, Sayyid al-Shuhada Salamullah Alayha he talked to people too much on many occasions. Sayyid, would you please recite a rosa after? If it's okay with you. Is that okay? Just 2 minutes, 1-2 minutes. English, inshallah. On that day, Sayyid al-Shuhada, salamullahi alayhi, would say that repeatedly that I'm the son of your prophet. I'm the son of your prophet. But you know what they told Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? One of the soldiers of the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayhi, he would tell, oh Hussein, look at this Frat, the pure water of Frat. I will not let you to taste even a drop of this river until na'udhu billah, until you go to the hell. Na'udhu billah. This was the situation of people in that time. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwaakh allati khallat bifnaik. Alayka minni salamullahi abada ma baqitu wa baqiya al-layl wal-nahar. ولا يجعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. Altogether. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين.